Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story simply, as to a child, for I am weak and weary, and helpless and defiled. An old hymn written back in the 1860s by an English woman, Catherine Hankey, as she was recovering from a very serious illness. She started writing this hymn in January and finished it in November because of the debilitating effects of her illness. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in. That wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Luke, the only Gentile writer of the Gospels, tells the old, old story. He wrote this Gospel for the purpose of making sure people had an accurate account of the life and work of Jesus Christ. In Luke 1 we read, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." The old, old story needs to be told and retold because there are always, always other voices trying to corrupt, trying to alter the old, old story to the point where many times the old, old story of salvation has been hijacked and even corrupted so that people don't get the message. This is a theme that winds itself all through the Gospel of Luke. He wants to make sure everybody has the historical facts. And this woman, Catherine Hankey, wants to make sure in her hymn that these facts, this story, is told and retold again and again. God wants all the world to know the story. That's why He saved us. Our task is to get the word, the old, old story, out to the world. That's why we have foreign missions, that's why we have local missions, and that's why we have the church. Our job is to get out the old, old story and to be able to get it out. We must first know what are the facts. And Luke provides them for us. Luke 19:10, a key verse, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The old, old story in a nutshell. Luke goes on to describe how God's Son entered human history in the first two chapters. And this is what we have been studying in the morning service during Advent. Jesus lived a perfect life. He provided a perfect sacrifice for our sin so we could be saved from God's wrath. Jesus is the only Savior. God wants all the world to hear the good news of salvation. So Luke was very precise in what he recorded. Jesus Christ offered the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He offers forgiveness to all who accept Him by faith as Lord of their lives, and believes that what He says is true. It's the old, old story. How well do you know the old, old story? As we look at this new year and the emphasis on going and making disciples, a strong evangelistic appeal to everybody in the church. Who have you witnessed to this week? Have you told anybody about the old, old story of Christ's birth, His life, His death, resurrection, ascension during the holidays? Or did that story get crowded out by, hey, guess what I got for Christmas? Or, boy, did we have a party? Or wasn't that a beautiful service? Where was Jesus in Christmas? So we have to constantly be reinforcing the facts of the old, old story. Luke 1 and 2 gives us details so that we can believe in the reliability of the history of Jesus' life. Jesus' love for people is good news for everyone. And His message, the good news, is for all people in every generation. Luke 2:10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." I'm going to circle that, all the people. And I'll explain it in a little while why this is so important. He's a Savior for all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Catherine Hanke wrote another song, another hymn, which is very similar to "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." The other hymn is entitled, "I Love to Tell the Story." It's almost word for word. So not only did she want to hear an old, old story, she loved to tell the old, old story. "'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love." Pastor Ben and I love to tell the story, and we tell it week after week. And I've heard people say, "Why don't you get off of that and get on to some of these other things that are more practical?" Really? We love to tell the story, not only because it has done so much for us. We know that the story of Christ will do as much for you as well. We love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time we tell it more wonderfully sweet. We love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. How many people do you associate with that aren't Christians? How many unbelievers do you come in contact with each and every day? How many of those unbelievers have you told the story of Jesus Christ to? One of the great blessings of this Christmas season was to go to Abraxas and hear the word preached, and then have opportunities to sit with these young men and women and to ask them questions, develop relationships, and in some cases, present the story. Present the story. And it was difficult at times. I was sitting next to a fellow, for a 19-year-old kid who was a Muslim. And I asked him why he was a Muslim, how he got... He said, "My family's all Christian, but I decided to become a Muslim." And we gave him a gift, and I says, "Hey, church brought you up a gift." He says, "Well, that's better than nothing." I says, "There's the Bible in the bag." He says, "I'm not going to read that." I said, "Do you have a Quran?" He goes, "Yeah." I says, "Are you reading that?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." I says, "So what does the Quran tell you about Jesus?" And he just looked at me. I said, "You're not reading the Quran. Quran talks about Jesus." "Really?" "Yeah." It's not the gospel by any means, and they change it a bit. But the point is that there are people in religions that don't even know what they believe, but they're against something else. Right? Those are the people we have to reach. We have to work toward. Dr. Eric was telling me there's a young man that requested baptism. I wonder how many more would like to be baptized. We're exploring that. Wouldn't that be neat to have a baptism service for the young people there? Ones that profess faith in Christ. This is the old story. Do we love to tell the story? Do we love to hear the story? Oh, that's boring. Let's spice up the Christmas story a little bit and talk about a donkey. Let's talk about the little drummer boy. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Jesus and why he came. He came to save people. Do you love to tell the story? Do you love to hear the story? I mean, how many times can you read through Luke 2, the birth of Jesus, and not be moved? A Savior has come for all the people. What good news! The angels love to tell the story. Old Simeon loved to tell the story. Anna, the prophetess, loved to tell the story. Luke 2:38, and coming up at that very hour, she, Anna, began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was talking to everybody. Do we? Luke tells the old story. The setting for the beginning of his story is the temple in Jerusalem. The angel's announcement of John the Baptist's birth to his aged parents. John would be the forerunner to the Messiah who would prepare the way for the Lord. Then the angel announced to the Virgin Mary that she was going to give birth to a Messiah, to Jesus Christ. Then he records that John the Baptist was born. Then he records that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the angel announced Christ's birth to the shepherds. And what did the shepherds do? They loved to tell a story. They went in haste to Bethlehem to visit Jesus. And then Luke fast forwards to Luke 2:21, where it talks about Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to the temple. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Jewish families went through a series of ceremonies when a child was born. Circumcision. Every boy was circumcised and named on the 8th day after birth. We see this in Luke 2:21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus literally means salvation of Jehovah. This was in accordance with Mosaic law, Leviticus 12:3. We see in Luke 1:59 when Zacharias took John the Baptist to be circumcised. It was on the 8th day, and that's when he gave his son the name John. And that's also when he got his voice back. 8 days after he was born. Circumcision symbolized the Jewish separation from Gentiles and their unique relationship with God. The second ritual was the redemption of the firstborn. A firstborn son was presented to God 1 month after birth. Exodus 13:2, 11-16, and Numbers 18. The ceremony included buying back, redeeming the child from God through an offering. Thus, the parents acknowledged that the child belonged to God, who alone has the power to give life. And thirdly was the purification of the mother. For 40 days after the birth of a son and 80 days after the birth of a daughter, the mother was ceremonially unclean and could not enter the temple. At the end of her time of separation, the parents were to bring a lamb for the burnt offering and a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering. The priest would sacrifice these animals and declare the mother clean. If a lamb was too expensive, the parents would bring a second dove or pigeon instead of the lamb. This is what Mary and Joseph did. They submitted to the law of Moses. Jesus was born not above the law, but he fulfilled the law perfectly. So we see that the time frame here of Jesus' birth and then his circumcision, then the ceremony of redemption and the purification of the mother didn't happen all within a week. It was spread out over time. Luke condenses it as he moves on to share some more about the life of Jesus. When Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple to be consecrated to God, they met an old man named Simeon, who told them what their child would become. Luke 2:25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought their child, Jesus, into the temple to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he met his Savior. The Holy Spirit also revealed other things to this man. Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." There's that word "all" again. "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." You see, at that time, the Jews waited for the Messiah, believing that he would come and deliver them from Rome, that he would come and heal their land, that he would bless God's people, the Jews. They thought that Jesus, the Messiah, would only come to save his own people, Israel. But the Holy Spirit opened the door on God's grand plan of redemption through Simeon when he talked about the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, non-Jews, and for glory to your people Israel. You see, Luke is speaking to the original audience was primarily Gentiles. You have the Gentiles and you have the Jews, and the Gentiles are thinking, Is God sending a Messiah for us? Is He saving us too? No. God's only saving the Jews. Jews are God's chosen people. They're the apple of His eye. You guys don't have anything to do with it. They were wrong. In fact, we see throughout the New Testament that God's strategic plan for salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. We see here in Luke's narrative that the Messiah came first to the Jews. Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist, all Jews. The shepherds in the field, all Jews. Simeon and Anna in the temple setting, all Jews. And Simeon then prophesies that this Savior that I'm holding, embracing my arms, is for all the people, Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile. But Simeon wasn't finished with his prophecy. We see in verses 33 to 35, he brings it home to Mary. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed." Now we're getting off of all the good news of great joy down to the reality of why Christ came and what this good news involves. Christ came to save sinners from the wrath of God. And people oppose that. And people oppose it today. Jesus is not the only way. You can believe that, but there are many ways to God. And you should be more inclusive and more understanding to other religions and allow them to believe what they want. You shouldn't be out there proselytizing, evangelizing. You shouldn't be doing that. Why not? Because we don't believe that Jesus is the only way. We don't believe that He was the Son of God. We don't believe He has the power to do anything. We don't believe He created. We don't believe in miracles. We don't believe in a virgin birth. We just think He's another teacher, a nice guy. That's what we believe in. But for me to trust in Him for my eternal life, boy, that's a stretch. I'm not going to do that. This is the prophecy of Simeon. "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." And then Simeon goes further and speaks personally to Mary. "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Mary is who is holding this baby is going to experience in his lifetime great suffering, great opposition. She's going to experience great grief when she witnesses his crucifixion. Here you have a newborn that everybody is excited about, and Simeon comes along and says, "Wait to see what's going to happen." The Holy Spirit was inspiring. And I contend that not only was the sword that pierced her own soul, the rejection that she experienced as her son was rejected. I believe that Simeon was telling her, you need a Savior as well. You know, you need a Savior. All people need a Savior. And your son is a Savior. Your Savior. Behold, this child is appointed for the fallen rising in many in Israel. A sword will pierce through your own heart, your own soul. I believe that Simeon's prophecy about Jesus, about how the true nature of people's hearts are going to be revealed by the gospel as they respond or reject the gospel, was also directed towards Mary. Mary needed a Savior just as much as anyone else did. You know that song, Mary, Did You Know? That is so popular at Christmas time. It's theologically incorrect. Because Mary did know. How did she know? The angel told her. I mean, she's conceiving a holy child by the Holy Spirit. She had to know. But the one thing that she didn't know is that she needed a Savior. Simeon told her she did. Mary knew. Luke 1:41, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Mary's song right afterwards says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary needed a Savior. And Jesus, the one she brought into this world, was her Savior. Luke goes on in the Gospel to tell of Christ's life, his teaching, his work. Luke tells the old story of Christ at the Last Supper, Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas's betrayal, Peter's denial, Christ's trial before Pilate, trial before Herod, Christ's crucifixion, his death and burial, and Christ's resurrection, Christ's post-resurrection appearances, and his ascension into heaven. He tells the old story. And God has preserved the old story so that we at this time can tell the old story once again to people who are lost. And it's up to us to do that. That's why he has saved us. That's why he's commissioned us. Luke has given us an accurate account of the life and work of Jesus Christ. We don't have to make anything up. We don't have to alter certain things and make it more, quote, relevant. All we have to do is tell the facts. Here is the story. Here is who Jesus is and what He has done to save us. So the application is fairly simple. Pray for the Holy Spirit to never allow you to get so spiritually stagnant that you do not love to hear the old story told again and again and again. Pray for Him to move your heart so that you will love to tell the story, the old story of Jesus and His love to others. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So as we begin this new year, we have a mission. And that mission is to tell the old story again and again and again to people we know, to family members, to people we don't know. To go to Abraxas, to go to Upper Euclid Township Day and grill some hot dogs and give them out free with water and give out the old story freely. To work with the schools on the Easter egg hunt, to go with a trunk or treat, to be a presence and to talk to people, to relate to people. Because there's a lot of people going to hell. A lot of people. And we have the message, that old story, that could prevent them from doing that. It comes down to, do you want to do it? That's what we're praying for as a church. That everyone will tell the old story. That everyone will make a disciple. Everyone will be discipled by somebody, and everybody will be discipling someone. This is why Jesus came and why He gave birth to the church. This is our mission. So give that some thought and a lot of prayer as we begin the new year. That we go into the highways and byways with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we're going